I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A bit of the old razzle-dazzle, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester United march on in the cup and the AFCON is in full flow. It's Tuesday, 11th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
To see a one and all for this terrific Tuesday. The FA Cup third round has been complete. Jim, you and the gang did a fine job talking about the weekend's action yesterday on the pod, but we get the final word today.
Yeah.
I also thought it was fine.
But we let one slip, didn't we?
You did.
They had to put another game on yesterday because we missed it.
Buggers.
Yeah, because the BBC want to fall over themselves to show a kind of ersatz Premier League game.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, it was Manchester United 1, Aston Villa 0, a barn burner at Old Trafford.
Someone's barn got burned.
Yes.
But they emerged miraculously unscathed.
Yeah. As did the barn, really.
Yes. Jim, would you.
It was just a barn.
It was just a barn, was it? Would you, as I did in the intro there, would you describe Manchester United as marching on in the cup?
Well, strolling on.
Slithering on.
Strolling? Yeah.
Wasn't a stroll, Jim.
No, but it's a stroll now, isn't it? The pace of it is all like there's momentum.
I would say...
The bare minimum of momentum.
A better adjective, please, Luke Moore.
Crawling through a barrel of broken glass.
Yeah.
On to the next round.
Yeah, okay.
Bloodied and bruised.
It's more that, I mean, you know, once the win's there, the win is there. And then you march on from there, right? You feel there's a sense of forward momentum. But this, it wasn't
you know, sometimes
inspiring,
you see,
was it?
You know, sometimes you see those videos that become viral and they are a man walking across the street and a bus is about to mow him down.
Mm.
But at the last minute, another bus knocks that bus out the way.
Yeah.
And he rolls forward and a bike goes over a ramp over the top of him. And as he's about to get across the road safely, a car comes speeding around the corner and misses him by an inch.
Yeah.
And he's all the time reading a paper, doesn't know it's happened.
But he gets across the road.
Yes, yeah. Man United.
Yeah. Yeah.
Villa are all those things. Yeah. Man United are that man.
Why did the Manchester United cross the road?
To get to the other side.
There we are.
To get to the fourth round.
Because Sir Alex Ferguson once did it in the past, is the answer to that game. But yes, they progressed to the fourth round. My goodness. They were rather fortunate because Steven Gerrard's Aston Villa will count themselves quite unlucky, Jim Campbell. Steven Gerrard, of course, got a bit of treatment from the Manchester United home faithful, which one would expect. He was booed, but Steven Gerrard after the game said, "I've been to noisier stadiums than this. Water off a duck's back."
I like that he said that.
It's never going to end, is it? And I'm into that.
Yeah, I like that he said that.
His team should have. He'd be gutted that they didn't win.
Yeah,
they should have won. They should have won easily.
They should. And if they'd have won, would he have walked up and kissed one of the cameras like he did that time?
Maybe.
It was once Old McFred combined, and can you name a more iconic duo for the goal? they just sort of switched off almost, didn't they?
Yeah.
It's like they just sort of like, okay, we've done the goal bit.
The problem is they're not in control of any game.
No, absolutely.
They're just not in control of what's happening. Yeah. Things are happening to them quite a lot.
Mm.
They don't feel like they can... Because Villa seemed to carve them open time and time again.
They did. I mean, Watkins, he probably should have scored, really. And that one off
when
he
hit the bar, that was... Yeah. What amazing forward play that was to even get himself that chance.
A lovely chop.
He's a brilliant player, Watkins.
Great chop.
Watkins.
But you're that close to goal.
He's got to finish that, yeah.
He'd be disappointed with himself. I mean, with that type of performance, you rightly say, Luke, that Aston Villa carved them open time and time again. And you know, on another day, VAR obviously pulled them up for that goal that they scored. But with that type of performance for Manchester United, when you have the fans in the home end at Old Trafford, they have a banner with the players on it with Keane, Robson, and Cantona's faces, and just in big letters saying "standards."
Yeah.
Do you think that's disrespectful to that banner, that performance?
Yeah, because I think Eric Cantona is famous for his professional standards. So that's definitely...
okay. All three of them are exemplary in every possible...
Yeah. The thing is about those moment. Three is you never ever knew whether they were wearing studs or molds because you never saw the bottom of their shoes, did you?
No, definitely not. here's my beef with that banner.
Go on.
The players are obviously great players.
Yes.
No one's arguing that.
Phenomenal players.
If it just had their pictures of them three and just said... good players,
yeah.
I'll be fine with it.
You could even, with them...
These are some of our best players we've had at Man United.
You could use the word legendary.
Legends.
Yeah.
That's
some
fine.
Players, yeah.
But if you're going to put standards... Right, get Dennis Irwin up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Yeah, because Keane's not happy until he's up there.
Get Dennis Irwin up there. He's never let you down.
Is that the Manchester United sort of Mount Rushmore?
Get Chucky McClare up there.
Oh, I'd love if they put a Mount Rushmore in.
Yeah, but you know what would be brilliant, though, is if they had, your four of your best players, and then just a tiny little one poking up behind the bushes of David May.
Why is he behind the bushes? You're making it like a pervert. Leave the bush out of it.
He made some vital contributions to that club.
What about if you got Donny van der Beek, the statue, and even you pulled the string, he backed into a hedge like Homer.
Where are you getting all the rock for this? I'm thinking you probably dig up Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's actual
I don't know where it
parking
country.
Space
it's
now.
Country.
I don't know where it would go in the Manchester area as well, but I'm sure Gary Neville probably owns a bit of land.
Here's the problem. Answer this question semi-seriously,
if
you were to do a Mount Rushmore of Man United, it would just be a massive block of Alex Ferguson, wouldn't it?
And
that's the problem. And that is the problem.
Not even,
even the commentary team last night.
Maybe Steve McLaren.
Yeah, you could have a big Sir Alex Ferguson and have all his assistants smaller.
Yeah,
McLaren,
like
Kierosh, Phelan.
Kierosh, yeah.
Archie Knox.
Oh, big Archie.
Yeah. So anyway,
yeah.
Let me get to it.
Oh, do we have? Yeah, let's go back to the
even
match.
Even the commentary team, whoever's broadcasting the Man United game,
yes.
it feels like it's written in now to some kind of Premier League or FA Cup or English football charter. Mm-hmm. That at some point the director has to cut to Sir Alex Ferguson in the stand and someone on the commentary team has to say something and it'll be something along the lines of, oh, I bet he's unhappy with this performance, or I bet he's happy with this performance, or I bet he enjoyed that goal, or he won't have enjoyed that goal conceded.
Mm.
And that has to happen every game. And if you can't see that the stand he's sitting in, the Sir Alex Ferguson stand, in the stadium that sits on Sir Alex Ferguson Way, with Sir Alex Ferguson in there, is a problem... You probably aren't thinking about it. Enough.
Yeah, and also as well, he is a fan of the team, so you could cut to any fan in any Manchester United fan and be able to say they won't be happy with this performance.
Exactly.
Or, well, actually, they've done okay today, and they're 3-0 up with a couple of minutes to go. They'll probably be quite happy with this.
Dion Dublin said, "I think, you better not let down the gaffer. You can't let the gaffer down. He'll be angry." And it's like the fact that you're still calling him the gaffer is probably part of this. I don't like Dion Dublin. Is what I'm basically
Why
saying.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think I'm on my own here.
It's a big opinion.
I like him.
I like him on screen. I like him off screen.
Do you like him, Jim?
I've met the man. He's a delightful fella.
Got no issue with him.
Yeah.
I like him even less now. You've been hanging out you.
Although the homes under the hammer thing, right? Are those? I'm not entirely sure how this works, but aren't some of those houses under auction?
I don't know, Jim.
Yeah.
Alex,
what's wrong with that?
But if you like, you've had your house repossessed, and then like Dion Dublin sells it on telly.
But it's not your house.
I don't think I'd like it.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, Ferguson was a fan of Dublin, or a particular part of Dublin.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, yes.
But it just, do you know what? With this Manchester United side, and I know we've talked to death about them. If you look at any of the other big sides in the league, in fact, even not even just the top three, you look at them, and you think, I know who I would play in that lineup, or the manager's usually already doing it. But you think about Manchester City, you think, oh, you've got good combinations. Oh, you could put him out and you put them there. That's the formation. Oh, there you go. That's the team, isn't it? And a lot of people would agree in it. You'd think Liverpool are pretty defined in their formation and their team as well. Perhaps the most of those top three sides. Chelsea have got various combinations. If we said, right, who would we start for Chelsea? What formation? You know, we could come up with maybe two or three alternatives and you think, yeah, that's good, that's good, that's good. Arsenal are the same, I would say. Spurs, I'd even say the same. With Manchester United, I think we'd all sit around this table and go, I just don't know who I'd start. I don't know what formation I'd play.
Apart from Fred and McTominay.
Yeah, well, maybe. But they have...
printed the team sheets now and they're just on there. So there's nothing,
But they have a good squad of players.
They do. I
don't know what they've got to do.
The thing to remember, though, is that you don't have an interim manager because things are going well, right? They are in a bit of a spot with the rest of this season where it is a make-do, essentially. Rangnick hasn't been in there very long.
Yeah.
And also, as he, you know, he's managed, 90 games in however many years? Like, obviously, he's known as a big football head, but, like, it's no guarantee that he's going to come in and immediately sort of like whip things into shape and get it going. He's there because they need a sort of stopgap while they figure out a bigger, grander, better
plan. Or possibly wait for Pochettino in the summer, maybe.
So I wonder if, like, is it actually appropriate to compare Man United to Man City and to Chelsea and to players like that at the moment?
Because yes.
You think so? Because surely,
Chelsea have had interim managers. Rafa de Gaffer was there and won the Europa League.
True. One of the all-time greats at Chelsea, as we know.
Just call him Rafa the Gaffer.
Still sing his name.
Well, he's the gaffer to me.
Let me ask you something a little bit more controversial then.
Go on then.
Because Jim's already accused me of having a big opinion today. How many
put
of their
it in my book.
How many of their players are actually that good?
Well, if you look at...
You said they've got loads of really good players. Have they?
I think on paper they do.
So what?
What do you mean, so what?
Like, because bloody games played on grass.
Well,
isn't
no,
it,
I mean, give me a list of, like, you know, what is the general consensus that you need to be a good team at the top end of the Premier League? You need probably 15 at least really good players. And how many have they actually got now? Now,
but they could have. You think, but look at the talent they've got. The likes of Bruno Fernandes. I know Ronaldo's old, but he's still Cristiano Ronaldo. Cavani's a player. Sancho is a very good player. I think Harry Maguire is a good defender. Personally, I part ways with a lot of people, but I am a big England fan. Luke Shaw, a very good.
But one at a time, though, because otherwise we're going to go for all of them. Bruno Fernandes, I agree.
Yeah.
Right. Jadon Sancho's a really good player. Fine. So he's shown that he can be a really good player in the past. When was the last time he actually played well? We're in January.
But he hasn't done for Manchester United.
That's what I'm saying. So you can. I'm not trying to catch anyone out. All I'm saying is we can sit here on this show, on any show, any kind of football broadcasting, until we're blue in the face, say Jadon Sancho's a really good player. He hasn't played well for 5 months. So at what point does that stop? At what point do we say Jadon Sancho is not making a contribution for whatever reason to Manchester United at the moment, and that's part of the problem. And too many of these players are like that. They're a combination of really good players who can't focus and consistently do it for whatever reason. And I would even say Bruno Fernandes is in that this season. Players who've got a lot of potential because they're young, players who are out of form, or players who just aren't that good. That's what Man United is at the moment. It is, though, isn't it?
There are caveats to the majority of those good on paper players, essentially.
Sancho's
a great example. Sancho's a very good player, but he hasn't been showing it. So that doesn't actually contribute when you add it all together. It seems weird to be talking about this after they've just won, doesn't it?
But that is a weird situation. Do you think Luke Shaw's having a good season? Do you think Luke Shaw played well last night?
Not especially. I think he's a good player, though.
There's too many average performances.
No, but you can't just suddenly say, just because after a few months, Luke Shaw's not a good player anymore.
I bet they're good, as Luke's just touched on, there are good players putting in some pretty average performances.
I agree with that.
And obviously, you got to look at that as being a wider problem that they're trying to fix with Rangnick.
Absolutely, but I think they have a decent squad of players. I don't think it's good enough to win the Premier League, because the top three are the top three, but I think that squad of players could finish fourth. But I just think at the moment, and they may well finish fourth, who knows, but I wouldn't have thought so with the way they're going. But I just think it's a bit of they're throwing so much stuff at the wall and none of it's sticking. I mean, look at Marcus Rashford, you know, England international, you know, decent player, we would say, with Rashford. He looks an absolute shadow of his former self at the moment. It seems that everything is being sort of dragged down, and even the performers they had, who would have flickers of brilliance and play well, like I would say Rashford in recent seasons, or Bruno Fernandes, you know, last season he was scoring a lot of goals and so on. Even these things now are being sucked away. But yeah, as you say, Jim, it's odd to say this because they did win 1-0.
Yeah.
I thought it was a stripy jumper job last night. I thought they were very, very fortunate to come away from that with a win. Actually, do you know what? Even if they'd had a 1-1 there and gone to extra time, and then what would have happened it could have gone either way, I think they'd have been very fortunate. But to get a win, I thought, was absolutely almost unbelievable. I was sitting there thinking, they're not in control of any of this. It almost felt like a bit like a Wheel of Fortune. They're going to spin it and it's going to land on something.
Yeah.
And the 1-0 win is like that big.
Yeah.
And the loss and draw is massive. And they've somehow gamed it out and got on it. And they've got through. I thought the VAR decision was just abysmal. It's inexcusably bad. And whether or not this was the case, it looks like to every single person watching that game, bear in mind this is on the BBC, so it's going to be very well watched, that the officials were looking for a reason to disallow a goal, which, whether that's in the laws or not, which I don't think it is, is a terrible look. A terrible look PR-wise for VAR and for the officiating of a top level.
We just want
game.
Consistency, don't we?
Well, you always say, you said this to me late last week. You are right, of course, but it felt like they were going through reasons why they could disallow it. And that's just not a great look. And if it takes 3.5 minutes, I don't know how many times it has to be said, if it takes 3.5 minutes, it's not clear and obvious. It's not clear and obvious.
Yeah, and that result and that performance, you would think it would be the away side, Aston Villa nicking it 1-0, Manchester United pile on the pressure and blah, blah, blah. But of course, it was the other round. And Villa fans will be gutted today that they're not in the cup, because they should have gone through, really. Emi Buendia looked lively.
Buendia, according to Guy Mowbray.
Is that right?
He was saying that a lot.
Like Buendia. I thought he was really, really lively.
Yeah. John McGinn was lively.
He's always lively.
He was interviewed over Christmas and he said, "No one has a backside as big as mine, but it makes me the player I am." And that backside was on very good form last night.
Yeah, but they came off.
But it wasn't enough.
Wrong end of result, didn't they?
It wasn't enough. Villa.
Do you think he has like a training regime to make his arse bigger?
Maybe.
Can you do that?
Has he insured it like J-Lo once insured hers?
Ask Pete.
I doubt it. Pete's, yeah, Pete will know.
Pete's famously got a very, very small arse.
Mm. He does, famously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a lot over the years.
Villa are reportedly, I was about to say, in the queue. By the sounds of it, they're at the front of the queue to sign Luka Digne.
Well, did they get up the earliest?
I think so.
Get there first.
Yeah, well, they've got to get something.
Doesn't make any sense when the news reports like that. They're at the head of the queue. Mm. It's not a queue, is it?
Yeah.
The queue is like you have to get there early. It's entirely dictated by how early you get there. So what you're saying then, if Chesterfield get there first, they're going to get Luka Digne.
Imagine Digne just going, "All right, okay, brilliant. I'm going to leave because I'm not getting on with Rafa the Gaffer. Where am I going to go? Which club's it?" Yeah. Oh, Chesterfield at the front of the queue.
The more we talk about this, the more I'd like to see it. Just like transfer deadline day, like the whole window being a day. Mm. You have it like a sort of 80s stockbroker kind of office.
But you've got to have the funds,
every
Jim.
Club turns
you've got
up
to
in a
have
jacket.
Yeah, but you've got to have the funds.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't be the front of the queue to sign Lionel Messi, and you kind of go, we're just joking.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't do your club any good because you've missed the queue of another player that was much more eligible.
Well, like supermarket sweep meets Wall Street. It'd be amazing.
Or when like Glastonbury tickets went back on sale in the 90s, they first went on sale.
Yes.
People be camping out at different venues.
Yeah.
I like the idea of that.
I think it's a good idea.
But it's exciting for Villa to be. There looks like they probably will sign Luka Digne. I've obviously got Philip Coutinho, who's again a very exciting player. It feels like they're building something at Aston Villa, and you kind of felt like that would happen if they made the right decision, just because of their history and the size of the club and the stadium and all that kind of traditionally very big club. Yeah. It's not as difficult a sell to someone like Philip Coutinho if you're Aston Villa
as
it would be maybe a less traditional club in the Premier League.
I do agree with that.
Funny with the Coutinho signing, isn't it? Because he's one of those players I think, is that the signing that sort of any club needs, or his best days behind him, blah, 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 blah. This could be a disaster. It could be another James Rodriguez, blah, 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 blah.
But
and then he actually signs and you're like, come on!
But James did produce a little bit at the start.
He was good for a bit, wasn't he?
But I take the point in what you're saying.
He was great to watch for a bit.
Yeah. What about the news about Axel Tuanzebe, who was on loan at Aston Villa? Jimmy's now spending the rest of the season at Napoli. His brother, who's also his agent, said yesterday that the move only came about over concerns that Steven Gerrard was letting Liverpool's rivalry with Man United get in the way of picking him at Aston Villa, because obviously he's a Man United player.
I mean, if that's true, it's absolutely scandalous,
but can it be true? I can't imagine
that would be
true.
So petty. Unless Gerrard is a better manager than we could possibly know, and he's got the 4D chess kind of thing going already. Mm. Maybe he knows if I give him this game time, he will be the rock on which Man United's future defence is built, and I am not having that.
Yeah,
Jim's answered it.
Yeah, I think he has. I think he absolutely.
I'll just repeat what Jim says. If he was to do that, it would be so petty.
Yeah,
and I agree with that statement.
Yeah, there we are.
But I also think there's a reasonable chance that he might have just felt that there are other better players at the club.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Gentlemen, we move on to the African Cup of Nations. Four matches yesterday, all ended 1-0.
Yeah.
All ended.
It was like a binary. It was like a binary scorecard.
It was.
Yeah.
Senegal beat Zimbabwe 1-0 thanks to Sadio Mane's penalty in the 7th minute of stoppage time. I tell you what, a little bit fortunate there, Senegal, because Senegal, they're the highest ranked African side in the FIFA rankings. Obviously, therefore, they will be among the favourites for the tournament. They are among the favourites for the tournament. And yet only just squeezed past little Zimbabwe.
Yeah, and they were quite sloppy as well. They started pretty brightly and you thought, oh, there's an opportunity for them to score a lot of goals here. And then it just sort of petered out a little bit. And we were saying on the show the other day that this is a really good chance for Senegal because they've got a really, really strong spine in particular. And you've got players really at their peak. Like, but, you know, with Mendy and Koulibaly both testing positive for COVID, that's a disaster because I'm not aware of how severe it is, whether they have symptoms or not, but it might not necessarily be the case that, like, you know, you start, you test negative and then out you go and you're playing it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
We just don't know. So those are huge, huge blows for them.
You'd certainly hope so for their sake, but I totally take your point. But if they were going to miss, let's say that is best case scenario, they're back for games further down.
It'd be the second round, I think. I think they'd miss the entire, whatever happens, they'll miss the entire group stage.
Right, but I mean, they weren't needed at all against Zimbabwe, but they just, as I said.
Well, you say that, I felt really sorry for Zimbabwe. They worked really fucking hard.
Oh, but you see the guy who gave away the penalty.
Oh, it was definitely a pen.
It was a pen, but he was absolutely, I mean, it was just seconds left. I think when the penalty was scored, then they took kickoff.
He has blocked the ball with his arm lock and he's basically saved it.
Yeah.
And I think it's an instinctive thing.
It's a penalty, but you feel for the guy.
And what a penalty as well. Mane was like, I'm power and placement.
Yeah.
You get out of my way, goalkeeper. Well, I will kick this through you if I have to.
He took himself off penalties. I think it was in the last Africa Cup of Nations in 2019, it would have been. I think it was 2019. I'm pretty sure it was. Because he missed one. I think he'd missed a couple for Senegal. He was like, right, I'm off it. Whereas it looked like he's back in business when taking penalties. Guinea beat Malawi 1-0. Salima Mukansanga oversaw the game, becoming the first woman to officiate a men's AFCON game ever.
Great.
Yeah,
good stuff.
So good stuff there. my Ghana boys, they lost 1-0 to Morocco.
Yeah, you got a big affection for Ghana, haven't you?
Well, because I was in Ghana for the 2008 edition of AFCON, and they charmed me.
Fair enough.
They won me over. Thomas Partey was in there, but unfortunately, Jimmy, I don't know if you call it.
He was kind of at fault for the goal, wasn't he? Well, it looked like he was to me.
And he's a bit unlucky.
Led to a chance. Yeah, so I think it is a little bit unlucky, but maybe that's my bias. But ultimately, it's the goal.
Is it the fact that you can take the boy out of Arsenal, but you can't take the Arsenal out of the boy?
It could well be that.
I tell you what, I think Morocco looked
decent. Jacker just turned up and just fucking pole at them and then complain.
Yeah, what are you doing here? I think Morocco looked decent. I think they are, what are they, the second highest ranked African side in the FIFA rankings. I think it could be their tournament.
I think they're a little bit... I looked at among the favourites, and the Senegal are the favourites, as you mentioned, and Algeria, obviously, holders. And,
unbeaten, long unbeaten run. They've won 40 games, I think it is.
So you look at what you think is the best team. That's probably Senegal.
Yeah.
Algeria, the holders. Cameroon, the host, right? So that to one side. Morocco are kind of not really being talked about much.
No, I'm surprised.
And it is surprising.
I think they're decent. And they don't even have Harvey Renard in charge.
They don't have Hakim Ziyech, which is an amazing decision. Mm. But obviously that's due to the sort of internal politics of the camp. But it's a very confident move to leave a player like that behind.
Yeah. What I love is that they've got one of those managers in Vahid Halil Hodžić, who's a proper journeyman. And you often get them managing... In various sort of far-flung parts of the world, which is very enjoyable. It's his fourth job in international football: Ivory Coast, Algeria, and Japan. I love it. I love an international journeyman. It's absolutely brilliant.
It's just like an international gun for hire, basically.
Exactly.
They're all spies.
Is that all spies? Is that a good thing for the development of the football in that region, though?
Yeah, true enough. But, well...
I'm thinking Bertie Vokes at Scotland. Was that good for their development? was it?
Capello at England.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. I know what you mean. He was sacked just prior to both the 2010 and 2018 World Cups with Ivory Coast and Japan. Of course, Sven replaced him at Ivory Coast.
There we go. There's your payoff, everyone.
I'm just telling you the truth, man.
If you had 20-ish minutes on the bingo card,
I think you'd be there. But Ghana lost. Kevin Prince-Boateng, remember him? Came out and said after the loss, Ghana should have just called me.
Yeah.
In response to him not
Ghana
playing.
Ghana should have just called a player who's never really made any kind of contribution to his international side when he was good.
Oh, he did at the World Cup.
1 year.
Yeah.
1 year.
He hasn't played for them since 2014.
Was it 2010 he was decent?
I think it was 2010, yeah. 2000,
but what I'm saying is, it's not like Samuel Eto'o is it? You know,
no.
It's not Didier Drogba saying
no,
it.
No, I do agree.
And this is a guy who played for the club I support, so I would...
Very much so.
He's only 34. I was expecting to... I've just Googled that and expected him to be about 42, but no.
It's miles on the clock though, Jim, isn't it?
Do you know what, Jim? He was probably unaware that Ghana were playing. What? They've lost? Well, they should have called me. Yeah. Have they played since 2014?
Oh, they should have called me. I would never have signed it off.
Yeah.
I would never have signed off a defeat.
Indeed. And Gabon beat Comoros, 1-0.
Yeah.
Comoros, the islands of the moon in Arabic.
I love that they're in it.
Yeah.
I love that they're in it.
Second smallest
they've
nation.
Done really, really well.
Second smallest nation behind Cape Verde to compete at the tourney.
Because that was a great story as well.
That was a great story.
Donaldson fell in love with Cape Verde.
Well, they're his boys. But Comoros, they won their first competitive match in 2016 and were not inducted into the FIFA rankings until 2005. Remarkable that they've made it to such a prestigious tournament in such a short space of time.
Population of around 800,000.
That's it.
One of those lovely little stories.
One of those lovely little stories. Now, enjoyable. We're enjoying it all. Marvellous stuff. All right, everybody. Let's have a quick break.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
...2021 was a year like no other in European football.
And 2022 promises to be even more eventful.
On the Continent is your weekly guide to all the biggest stories across Europe.
But what was highlighted again in this game against Malmo was just how desperately that team needs something different up front. Alvaro Morata is not right now the number nine they need, and I don't think Moise Kean is either.
We're joined by the best European football experts to get to the bottom of the stories at the top of your newsfeed.
I think Real Madrid is a very logical place for him to go, and if you want that to be an option, it's not a bad idea to make Real Madrid think that you might go to Barcelona. From Haaland's side of it, it's very beneficial that Barcelona are at least pretending they can afford him.
Come join us every Thursday on Football Ramble Presents.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Gleeson has the ball and dims it in towards the penalty area. Brennan Camp does a very good job there of holding Maycock.
Oi, everybody.
It's childish.
Welcome to the Football Ramble.
But no apology will be forthcoming.
Well, welcome back to the Football Ramble, should I say. Right, it's time for emails.
Ramble email, Jimmy.
production from Matt Baker there.
Indeed, yes. It's just like honey in your ears, that. we've had an email. I'm not going to reveal who sent it because that will become clear. Just listening to Thursday's show about being named after footballers. It's one thing being called after a legend of the game, and it's another when that figure is generally disliked. So imagine what it's like being Robbie Savage. I try to go by Rob usually, but it's always brought back to Robbie despite my protests. Oh. First day at my current company, turn on my PC and my background image is Robbie Savage. Meet a client for work, Robbie Savage. It makes it sound like you've met Robbie Savage, like, and that was the client. And he would love it. Specifically.
It's me!
It's only one Robbie Savage, it's not you, you prick!
I didn't buy those trainers!
Get some work done to the house. Every tradesman calls me Robbie Savage. The electrical safety certificate for my house is in the name of Robbie Savage. To make matters worse, I also work in Macclesfield, and as you know, Robbie Savage is now involved with Macclesfield FC. I just can't escape it. Really, I blame my parents, but I'm 29, so the timing appears to back up what they're saying, as they can't possibly have known he would be Sasha Bellend by 1993. Surely that is from, of course, Robbie Savage.
Yeah.
Well, Robert Savage.
He bellended himself out of Man United in 93, 94.
Well, yeah, so maybe that was it.
Maybe there is a
I do feel sorry for him. Why he should just call himself Sav.
Also, Robbie's, we are going to call him Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
Our Robbie Savage's partner is actually called Christopher Sutton as well, which makes it even worse. Are they trying to ant and deck themselves?
I think
Robbie?
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. Yeah, I think they're trying to ant and deck themselves.
Got to be very careful there.
Yeah.
Did I tell you once, I was at a party in West London once, and there was talk about, people kept saying...
Stocks and shares, I'd imagine.
All that kind of stuff, Jim. Absolutely.
Just saying stocks and shares.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
No, the chat at the party.
But the way you said it was like, he was like, people were saying, and you just what stocks and shares. Like, people walk around saying that exact phrase to each other.
I thought he said socks and chairs.
Yeah.
But anyway, there was suddenly talk. Is Peter Crouch coming? Is Peter Crouch coming to the party? Now, I obviously knew it wasn't going to be the real Peter Crouch.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's our neighbour, Peter Crouch. Oh, Peter Crouch. There was a chat about Peter Crouch, and I thought, oh, this is going to be hilarious. It's going to be a guy who looks like him. Mm. Or, you know, same body shape and all that kind of stuff. This is going to be, I'm really going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Oh, Peter Crouch was here, and he turned up. And it was this short, you know, sort of average-sized, middle-aged Australian man. And I was like, you're Peter, what? And his name was just Peter Crouch.
Disappointing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, very disappointing. But he was apparently at some charity thing with the footballer, Peter Crouch.
It's like a pun that just works better on paper.
Yeah, and the footballer, Peter Crouch, got wind that there was another Peter Crouch on him and couldn't get enough of it. To the point of his wife, up his street. Is it Abby as well?
Abby Clancy is his wife.
She had to like literally pull Peter Crouch, like the footballer, away from him because she was like,
What did they talk about?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just love the fact, you've got the same name as me.
Yeah.
And then they're off.
Well, if anyone listening has also got the same name as a footballer.
Absolutely.
Or any famous person. I often wonder.
Well, Luke
about,
Moore, you've got. You've,
yeah, Lucas Moura is the Brazilian one, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, and you have a Luke Moura as well.
Because
you were on the telly once and the description on the old information.
I think they'd hired that Luke Moura.
And they got you.
And I turned up and they were confused. But to their immense credit, they let me carry on with it.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, I was watching.
And you won the quiz.
I often wonder about other people who are called Lenny Kravitz. There must be other Lenny Kravitz.
No,
out there.
There's no other Lenny Kravitz.
You don't think?
You daft sod.
Yeah. Of course,
you've done a census, have you? There's got to be.
There must be another one somewhere.
Seven billion people on the planet. There's got to be more than one Lenny Kravitz.
There's only one big Len.
Yeah, I think you could rule out quite a large part of that population.
Oh, absolutely.
Actually.
Yeah, but you only need a small. You only need one other Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, true.
Very true. Right, everybody. Remember, get your dilemmas or questions in for Pep Talks tomorrow on the show. Show@footballramble.com or tweet @footballramble.
Yes.
Indeed. Indeed. Right, everybody. Big Mike Ashley's back. Horrifying news has emerged over the weekend that he's preparing a £50 million bid to take over Derby County. Can't keep a good man down, can you, Luke Moore?
It seems like it.
It's like the bit in a horror movie where you think the monster's dead, but then it comes back.
I know who you bought last summer.
No one.
No.
I don't want to speak on... Obviously, I cannot, and I wouldn't wish to speak on behalf of Derby County.
I think
here.
You should. I really do think
okay.
you should.
On behalf of Derby County here, I would say that...
Intervention.
Is it necessarily the very worst thing that could happen? Right? Let me put it out there. Derby are in a terrible state, as everyone knows.
As Newcastle United were. You're dangerously on Rio Ferdinand territory here.
No, I'm not, because Mike Ashley didn't leave Newcastle in financial trouble, did he? He just wanted to sell them. And he didn't invest in the club, and there was loads of stuff around his ownership, which I completely agree with, by the way. But this is a club that is down on its absolute knees.
It is looking at a last chance saloon, isn't it?
Well, it's
if
the
it
guy,
looks like look, the worst case scenario, that is the situation they're in, isn't it?
This
is
what, exactly. What you're there's stuff here in the running order. I'll read it if you don't mind, Marcus.
Go on then.
Niall Horan, who's part of One Direction,
big Niall,
and Olympic swimmer Ross Davenport had a spat on Twitter about it with different points of view. Ross Davenport said, "Newcastle is a completely different story. He went in and promised the world and milked the club. Fine, I've got no problem with that. Mm-hmm. We, talking about Derby County, are a cow that at the moment does not produce milk." So I feel like I don't want to make excuses for the guy because I don't particularly like Mike Ashley. I've enthusiastically joined him with all the digs on Ashley over the years, as I'm sure everyone listening will know. But if he can get them, if they need someone to take over the club come what may, and they're in really big trouble, they've already had massive points deductions and all the rest of it. This is a historic, great club, which I wouldn't like to see anyone besmirch the reputation and the history of, but they need someone to own the club. And Mike Ashley, whether we like it or not, has got a huge amount of money. Now, football is in this state, which I don't personally agree with, for a lot of really poor decisions over the last 20, 25 years. Mm. Should we be in a position where a club the size of Derby County should be looking to someone with the profile and the history of Mike Ashley to help bail them out? Absolutely not. It's a disgrace. But here we are. Mm. So I don't know what the alternative is, but if the alternative is them going out of business, then it's a decision that has to be made.
It's bleak, isn't it?
Really bleak.
And also,
I'm not defending Mike Ashley or anything he's done.
No, you could probably still sell the cow for beef as well.
Like don't sell the cow. The cow is the club in this scenario.
Yeah, but the Mike Ashley is going to have it at his disposal, and you don't know what he can get out of a cow. Is what I'm saying.
But Derby also reportedly in crisis talks with the Football League after it's claimed that Middlesbrough and Wickham are involved in a £51 million compensation claim, and of course, this bill would obviously make it even harder for them to settle their debts, which does feed into your point, Luke, that if it's a case of Derby going completely out of business, I suppose you look at other clubs and you think, well, would they really truly sort of let it go to the wall? But you can't just sort of say, oh, well, I'm sure it'll be fine. You know, we'll manage to find the money somewhere. Okay, well, where is it?
Well, they need a takeover, don't they?
They do need a takeover.
And I couldn't possibly fathom a guess as to what Mike Ashley's motives actually are there. But like, why does he want to get back into football so quickly? It's such an unusual thing. Would it be a similar thing where he essentially uses it as a vehicle to promote Sports Direct, which is, you know, a huge part of what he appeared to be doing at Newcastle? It's just unfathomable. I mean, he doesn't care what people think of him, does he, Mike Ashley? I think that's something to remember.
Well,
it is strange to think that he'd want to get back involved after the experience he's had.
But that just smacks of he's a billionaire. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. And also, if the club are in such a bad state and he can invest and take over for what for him would be a modest amount of money, if he can deliver them to someone else in a better state, he's going to make money. Mm. So it's all very kind of sordid, and not necessarily sordid, but all a little bit fucking depressing for a club of that hysteria in that respect.
Well, it is. I think, you know, we use the example of Newcastle because it's the only one we got with Ashley, but it was so shit for them when he was there,
and for a long time,
for an awfully long time. And that's what you worry about Derby, because if it was just crap for, say, a couple of years at Newcastle, and you don't want any crap years, of course, but if it was a case of, you know, he put some money into it, da da da, and then sold them off just 3 or 4 years later, made a little bit of money, then moved on, and that was what his gig was. You kind of go, well, it shouldn't last too long. But with Newcastle, you just think, like, what on earth was he playing at?
Well, it was a sort of managed decline, wasn't he? Where
he made money from.
But this is such a different scenario, though. As One Direction and an Olympian have discussed.
But I think Jim hits the nail on the head. Then, despite what I've said, and you know, it is worth pointing out, as Jim says, it's a completely different kettle of fish.
Well, hopefully, if he does get
the gig,
if you see what I mean, hopefully it would play out differently. But I hope that, I don't know, Superman comes in with the cash and saves the day.
Why would Superman do it?
I don't know. I just try to sort of pick someone.
I mean, Superman's just a journalist. Yeah. He can't afford that.
I don't even know if there's any suggestion that Superman's got any money, is there?
He could probably get his hands on some.
Well, that's true, but then you've got a question where it comes from. Is he going to pass the fit and proper persons?
Well, he must have got paid a lot when he's appearing in all those films.
We need to see receipts.
Yeah, okay.
Otherwise, he's not going to pass the fit and proper persons, mate.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Well, gentlemen, let's move on to matches that are happening this afternoon and tonight. Southampton versus Brentford, Nigeria versus Egypt in AFCON. That's a big one.
That's a big one. You didn't mention Egypt earlier when looking at the favourites, but they've got to be among them, surely.
Well, you mentioned them yesterday, to be fair, but yeah.
Their record is very, very good.
Yeah,
they've won the most by miles of any team in that competition.
They have, yeah. They have indeed. But Southampton versus Brentford, Luke Moore. The Saints versus the Bees. Thomas Frank was very complimentary of James Ward-Prowse before, ahead of this game, saying that he's one of the... he didn't say one of the best. He says he's the best free kick taker in the world and that only Lionel Messi comes close. I mean, he's... That, unfortunately, what Frank's done there is...
I like that you call him Frank.
Yeah.
Because it could be his first name or his second name.
I just want to be Frank.
he's Frank.
He is Frank, yeah. And he is very Frank.
Yeah.
James Ward-Prowse is an excellent free kick taker, but you've overrated him there.
Yeah.
I don't... Do you not agree with him there, Luke? That there James Ward-Prowse might be...
Go for the low-hanging fruit, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, he's obviously very, very good at taking free kicks and set pieces generally. That's never been my beef with him. My beef with him is he... Or the question I asked is he overrated generally because of that? What is his other what is the rest of his game contribution like? No, I'm not adding an answer to that question from anyone. But
good at corners as well.
Very good.
I said set pieces, to be fair.
You did say set pieces. Yeah, I know. I think he's a decent player, but I don't think. Well, let's see. Maybe he'll score a couple of free kicks. Who knows? Brentford. They're not the only big performers coming to the South Coast. This week, of course, two nights ago, the Pundits Tour came rolling into the Mayflower Theatre. That's a Cirque du Soleil of Matt Letizia, Jeff Stelling, Phil Thompson, Paul Merson, and Charlie Nicholas. You cannot keep good men down.
Stop saying that.
I said men, not man.
Yeah, I don't know how this has made it in.
Why? What's the matter? You were there. What? Look, are you trying to tell me that... You know, I assume the Mayflower Theatre's in Southampton.
It is, yeah.
So
I've been to the Mayflower Theatre a number of times.
I'm sure, but this being one of them, was this the best time you went?
It was great, yeah. I mean, I particularly enjoyed Matt Letizia singling out everyone who hadn't had the vaccine and saying he was only speaking directly to them.
Come on,
I imagine there's a
lot. What do you mean? Come on, you put this on my fucking table. Don't be fucking pissed off at
it. What else have you seen at the Mayflower? I'm interested.
Oh, loads. We used to go there quite a lot as kids. Probably Pantos at Christmas, that kind of thing.
Pantos?
Yeah.
Cooler Shaker, maybe?
To be fair, as I'm sure you'd realise, I'm a King's Theatre in Southsea man.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes you wouldn't necessarily get people going to the King's Theatre in Southsea.
Yeah, it's so smaller, that's
right. Go to the Mayflower. Yeah. I think it is smaller, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The true A-listers go to this one, right?
Yeah, I guess. Well, look, you've got it in front of you there, mate.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Pundits Tour. To be honest, I'm sure...
I think it'd be a laugh. I love that. Yeah, we'll come up with a better name later.
Yeah. Just put that for now. Yeah.
Good luck to him. Good luck to him, everybody.
I feel like it might come out later that it's one of the challenges on the series of The Apprentice. Oh, put this on. Yeah, we'll wait and see.
To actually sell tickets.
Yeah.
After some of what the men on the panel have said.
Yeah. Nick Hughes used to be in The Apprentice. Anyway, Leicester versus Everton has been postponed after a request from Everton. 19th Premier League game to be delayed this season.
No one wants to think about when the games are going to be played. People have just fucking sacked it off.
Yeah.
We're postponing whenever we postpone.
That's right.
Yeah. And there's going to be some kind of super tournament involving all these players and teams playing at the same time.
Yes.
And we'll come out with some kind of result.
It'd be like a playoff that makes no sense.
They're hoping that every team involved has already had everything squared away by the end of the season. Nothing can change. And they'll just play the games.
Yeah, before we know it. It's like, well, we have to do a Super League. What? Yeah, we're just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the rules in the AFCON are quite harsh, as you said yesterday. If you've got 11 players, essentially, if you've got a team, it's like, get out there.
Off you go, yeah.
Well, it's actually quite controversial. I mean, I know it's been mentioned before, but it's quite controversial that the tournament's even taking place.
Yeah.
Given that, in that part of the world, there's a very low vaccination rate. Mm-hmm. Omicron is surging everywhere, as we know. The reasons that it was postponed last year arguably still exist now. Mm-hmm. But people have just decided that we're going to crack on with it anyway.
Yeah.
And the reason, for example, that you're not seeing any fans in the stadium is because you need to be double vaxxed to get in. And only 3% of Cameroon, I think, is double vaxxed. So,
I take your point there. I think there was a lot of, unfortunately, because there was some kind of sneery comments, as there often is towards the African Cup of Nations from, European journalists and managers and so on and so forth. But often one of the arguments was, well, hang on a minute, if there was a massive pandemic on during the Euros, that was still played. And it was like, well, actually, the Euros was delayed by a whole year.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of restrictions in stadiums and so on as well. So actually, it was the case here, of course. But yeah, I know what you're saying. But I'm, from an international, from a purely international football fan point of view, I'm delighted the tournament's being played.
And despite the low attendances, the fans that are there and the bands that are playing amongst them are still creating this absolute carnival atmosphere.
Oh, it's a joyous occasion. And, having, as I say, I was out in Ghana in 2000, 2008, going to one or two of the games. It's just glorious. But, you know, as I say, international football, that's what international football do to you, everybody. But back on the COVID pandemic kind of chat, there's a strange situation unfolding at Chester FC that kind of sums up the current climate. Now, the club stadium is right on the border between Wales and England, but they've been warned by police over a possible breach of COVID regulations after staging two games in front of crowds over the festive period. Only 50 people plus players can attend sporting events in Wales at the moment. As it stands, a crowd could legally gather in the car park and go to the ticket office, but cannot enter the ground because that would be crossing the border.
That's crazy.
Isn't that madness?
Can they support from the car park?
I should hope so.
Would you then buy a ticket? No, you wouldn't.
No. Just stay out there. So what do they do in the States? Tailgating?
Yeah.
Maybe they could start that.
Have a little cookout.
Yeah, exactly.
In Chester in January. You know, I'm sure that would be that enjoyable, but, you know, it's up to them.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Everybody, we end the show today with the sad news of the passing of the great Andrew Jennings, the legendary investigative journalist, passed away on Saturday at the age of 78. And, of course, an absolute titan of the journalist game. And this man deserves all the credit and more that he gets because, you know, as you were saying, Luke, before we came on air, the reason why we know FIFA to be the rather questionable organisation that they have been and still are potentially, if, you know, watch my words, and the reason why a lot of certain people were uncovered doing certain things they were doing was all down to this man.
Yeah, we're all dancing to Andrew Jennings' tune, really, on FIFA. Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, he was the guy doing it first and foremost. I mean, with his book Foul, which I would recommend you read, it feels a bit like, you know, it's par for the course now for everyone to be talking about what FIFA are up to, and not just FIFA in Andrew Jennings' case, but also the IOC as well, which you covered before. But actually, he's the one who brought this to everyone's table.
And he wasn't originally in sport.
No, he's a traditional
journalist. Yeah, he came a bit later to sport, but he realised, he was like, oh my goodness, you know, normally I investigate very corrupt individuals at the top of organisations that are not sporting organisations and so on. And then he turned his hand to sport and he was like, oh, it's there's rather a lot of similarities here. But of course, you know, he investigated alleged bribery and corruption at FIFA and so on.
Yeah, he started out investigating activity at Scotland Yard.
That's
and
right, that
piece
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah.
And he's also a Ramble Meets alumnus, isn't he? So we can,
he is.
We can I listen to you interviewing him on the Ramble.
I have the pleasure of going up to his home in it's around the Lake District, I think it was, or certainly up that way, in that beautiful part of England, and just a delightful company, slightly eccentric as well, but just an amazing man with so many amazing sort of stories and feats.
Well, he leaves an amazing legacy,
yeah,
and his work will obviously ring out for a long time after his sad death, and the work he's done is well worthy of all the credit it receives.
Yeah, and I would recommend watching any of the documentary he's done, you know, sort of the BBC Panorama stuff and so on. But a real character, Jim. We loved the man.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So yeah, Andrew Jennings, marvellous. What an incredible life. So there we are. Thank you, everybody, for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, it's Jules, Vish, and Pete. So there we are.
That'll be an absolute lovely time. I hope that Jules somehow gangs up on her own on Vish and Pete, which she probably will.
Yeah, she'll manage it. Yeah, I'd back her, definitely.
Yes,
there we are. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.